Welcome to Q&A Selling Online, with answers to questions about creating an online empire, promoting products, or building a brand. Your host, private label and e-commerce entrepreneur, Quinn Amorm.
Hey everyone, welcome. This is Quinn. Today I'm super excited. And before I go into the question, I want to tell you that iTunes has released podcast analytics. So now they give us access to see so many things that we couldn't see before. Up until now, I use a third party, and I'm still going to keep using a third party to see how many people listen to the podcast, how many downloads I had, and where the people are from. That's pretty much the information I could have. And I was getting that from Blueberry. But now, this is a better version, so I'm not sure if everybody has access to this, that they sent me an email and gave me access to it. So I'm guessing everybody probably has it. And it's just called iTunes Connect Podcast Analytics Beta. And they break this down through, so I have an overview of the podcast and gives us some graphics of number of plays and all that stuff, all the stuff that I kind of already had before from a third party. Then it also gives me trends, and these trends are not the trends, worldwide trends or anything like that. These are trends inside my podcasts. And then the beauty of it is when we go to episodes, and it shows me, for instance, when my podcast, when that particular episode, when it was released, the duration of it, how many unique devices have picked this up, because sometimes you can get 500 downloads, but only 480 devices. So that means that the same person downloaded twice, or yeah, that's probably the only explanation I can see. And then the total time listened, and also gives us the time per device and the average consumption. And this average consumption is the beauty of it. It tells you the percentage of the episode that the people listen on average. So let's say if the episode is 10 minutes long, if somebody stops listening at 5 minutes, then, you know, I get a 50% average. And of course, the average is done through every single unique device. So it's pretty good to see the average consumption, and that's something, because this is beta, I wonder how many more features they're going to give us. But let's jump to this question that I have, and the question came from his cool name, Mars Bars. So Mars Bars says, "Hey Quinn, hope all is well. I love the podcast. I'm looking for some advice. I'm in the research phase for my first private label product. I'm in Toronto, and I get confused as how to import the product directly into the .com market since I'm not in the US. Also, get confused with all the keyword stuff, how to rank keywords, etc. Looking forward to hearing from you, and viva Portugal." So, Mars Bars, I got talking to him, and we realized that we actually both grew up in Portugal, although we were a couple hours away. I ended up sending him a picture of the hotel where I stayed last, and I could see through the window one of the biggest bridges, I believe, in Europe. And yeah, he recognized and he told me right away, yeah, I live like 5 minutes away from that, and not right now. Now he lives in the States, or actually Toronto, he said, yeah. So he lives in Canada, in Toronto. And it's just exciting to hear from people that came from Portugal, because I have a real strong connection still with Portugal, and actually my parents still live there. So anyway, let's go to answer Mars Bar's questions here. So let's start from the beginning. How to import from, and you don't mention China on your question, but how to import, I'm guessing, from China directly to .com since you're not in the States. It's actually, it used to be scary at the beginning, at least for me, thinking about that. But now that I know how simple it can be, it's actually hilarious. Pretty much, you subcontract it out. And let me explain this. You find a product that you want, and let's imagine that you're sourcing it from China. You're going to find a product that you want, and you're going to talk to, for instance, some certain manufacturers already have freight forward companies that work for them. They have custom brokers, freight forwarders. In some situations, you can ask them and see if you can use their freight forwarder. The thing is, they may trust their freight forwarder, but you don't, because you don't know them yet. And that's, of course, a risk by not knowing who is involved in this. But it's super easy to find a good freight forwarder and I may have to rephrase this, it's not super easy, but it's not hard to find a good freight forwarder. And I can give you some contacts on the show notes. I'll send you a message directly, and I'll put them on the show notes for everybody that's listening that wants to know some good freight forwarders. And that's pretty much it. So you're going to give the freight forwarder the address where you want the product shipped to. In order for you to know the address where they're going to ship it to, you're going to create your Amazon listing. Now, you will need your UPC, which is basically your barcode. You're going to have to, that UPC, you're going to have to give it to Amazon so they can give you a FNSQ. That's the Amazon barcode. So, but let's not jump ahead. So you're going to create this listing. You're going to create your title. Remember, this is super important, this title. So the second you're going to create this title, those are the keywords that are going to get indexed for almost for sure. And then you're going to go to your bullet points, which are super important. And then again, you mentioned here about you're super confused about the keyword stuff. So those keywords, I'm going to tell you how to find those keywords, how to do this keyword research. But those keywords, after you find them, you're going to have to use them to fill, number one, that title. That's number one. And then you're going to use 5 bullet points, and you're going to put those keywords in there. Google hates when you call it keyword stuffing, like stuffing those keywords in there. But pretty much that's what you're going to have to do. Every keyword that you find, you're going to have to try to stuff it, or you're going to have to try to use it in those 5 bullet points. And then you're going to have to reuse them in the description. In this description, now you can use up to 2,000 characters. But on the title, bullet points, and in the back end, you're limited by the amount of characters that you can use. So you create this listing with the keywords. I'm going to show you how to get them. And after you create this listing, you're going to create a shipment. Even though you don't have the product to ship, it doesn't matter. You're going to create this shipment. And now the shipment is, as soon as you create the shipment, Amazon, when you go step by step, and those are easy to follow steps, they're going to tell you where to ship to. They're going to also give you labels. So if you tell Amazon you're going to ship 100 boxes, and each box is going to have 50 products, they're going to give you barcodes for each, for every single one of those 50 times 100, was that 5,000? So they're going to give you the option to print 5,000 of these barcodes, which is the so-called FNSQ. Also, they're going to give you 100 labels for each one of those boxes, and those are the shipping labels. Let's say these 5,000, I don't know the amount of product that you're shipping, but let's pretend you're shipping 5,000. These 5,000 need to have the Amazon barcode on them, this FNSQ. So when they give you this option to print, you're either going to send it to your manufacturer and ask them to put one in every single product on the product itself, so it cannot have a visible barcode on the product. If it has a barcode, this FNSQ has to go on top of that barcode. But more than likely, the product doesn't have a barcode yet, so they're just going to put it somewhere on the packaging and each one. Then normally, my manufacturers do this. There's no other option. Is either they do it for free in most situations, or they'll charge you a fee to do so. And still, if they don't do it, Amazon will charge you a fee, and more than likely their fee will be higher. So I only have a couple manufacturers that actually charge for it, and those are because the products are cheaper, therefore the quantities are way bigger, so they do charge for it. But in most situations, they don't charge me anything. But then again, they're going to give you 100 labels, and these are shipping labels to go in every single one of the boxes. So these you're going to send to the manufacturer as well, and you're going to tell them every single one of these boxes needs to have one of these on them, no matter what, how you're going to ship them. If you're going to ship them by plane, if you're going to ship them by sea on a sea can, it doesn't matter. They can have other labels. They can have the FedEx labels, the UPS labels, or I guess it would be DHL or FedEx. And it also needs to have the Amazon label. This is for when the product arrives at the warehouse, they're going to scan their own label so they know where this product is going to go. You're also going to give all this information to your freight forwarder, and your freight forwarder is going to need to know what you're shipping, where you're shipping to, where you're shipping from, yeah, and of course, how you're going to ship it. So again, it depends on the quantity, depends on the size and the weight. Most people start by air shipping, and of course, air shipping is more expensive, depending also on the quantity and size too. But when you're starting, most people go with air shipping. For one, it takes 5 days to arrive, and that's nothing. While sea shipping, it takes, I believe, 23 days. And this does not include fourth quarter delays, custom delays, and all that kind of stuff, right? So there's a lot involved when it comes to shipping by sea. That's definitely the cheapest option. Now let's jump over to the keywords. So first, how do you pick keywords? The easiest way, the quickest way, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Take the idea from whoever has it perfected. So you're going to look at your competitors. Find out the best or the biggest competitors that you have. The ones that don't have just the one product. The ones that have their ranking on the first page for all the keywords that you type that are related to your product. Because if you are selling a number four pencil, you know that that is one of your keywords, right? So you would type number four pencil, see who shows up first. Then you can use things like Sonar, and Sonar is a tool that I have is a Chrome extension that's going to just jump on your page, and it's going to populate the most searched keywords related to the one that you just entered. So when you enter, let's say, your number four pencil, you do a search on Amazon.com, it's going to bring up a ton of products. And then this Sonar Chrome extension is going to populate on top of the page. It's going to show you also related to this is, let's say, I don't know, pencil sharpener or number six pencil or gray pencil, for instance. And then gray pencil is probably a keyword that you never thought of. So you're going to look at that and see. This is also going to tell you how big of a keyword it is, how many search results, how many times it's getting searched, or the search volume of it. So if it tells you this one has a huge search volume, the gray pencil or brown pencil or whatever, now you know, okay, this is a keyword for me, and you're going to put it in your back end. I recommend you writing down all on a Word document or whatever you use for taking notes. Write every single one down, because you're gonna have to count characters when it comes to your back end. So do keyword research on your competitors. See what keywords they are ranking for. See what keywords they're using to get the sales. And also, if you wanna use, there's other tools out there that are absolutely free that you can use. And one of them is keyword.io. You just open that on your browser, keyword.io, and you can do all the searches that you want, and it's absolutely free. It will search google.com, it will search trends, it will search amazon.com. You just tell them what's the main keyword you're looking for and where you're looking for it. So I believe it searches eBay, it searches Amazon, it searches Google. There's a ton of places where you can do keyword research. So if you tell them you want to search it on amazon.com, is going to go and find those keywords from Amazon.com. But this is obviously after you got them from your main competitors. Now you're going to just pluck them in there, and one by one, you're going to try to find keywords that your competitors have missed. But of course, my number one tool is Sonar, and you can find this at sonar-tool.com. Now, there's more out there. And because of things that happened in 2017, I would recommend you stay away from Keyword Inspector. So do not go with Keyword Inspector. The owner of this tool, let's just say he's not trustworthy. So he emptied some people's accounts in 2017 with some software that he developed. And let's just say that it was not nice ruining some people's businesses or ruining their lives. Now, on your Word document or whatever it is that you decided to use, you're going to put all these keywords in there and you're going to try to write a story with these keywords. For the algorithm and for the Amazon search engine, it's not super important that there's a story written. It's not as powerful as Google is that it actually needs to make sense nowadays. With Amazon, it's still keyword is a keyword. But because you're trying to sell something, you also need to have some sort of copyright there, right? So you need to be able to sell the benefits of the product. Instead of selling the product, you're going to try to sell what the solution, what solution your product is bringing to somebody's problem, right? So one of the rules of copywriting is when you find the person's problem, you're going to bring it up to them. You're going to mention the problem to them just so you remind them. Now you're going to make that problem even worse. So you're going to touch them right where it hurts them. And you're going to aggravate that situation. And now you're going to give them the solution. And of course, the solution is your product. So you're going to make your product look good. After this, you will have to enter 250 characters of keywords into your back end. So I recommend, and Amazon recommends, not repeating the same keywords that you already have in the front. So if you have keywords on your title, more than likely those are the best keywords. So you're going to have them as well somewhere in your 5 bullet points. And then you're also going to throw them somewhere in your description. So that is more than likely going to be indexed by Amazon's search engine. So there will be no need to use those keywords again on your back end, again, because you are limited in space on the back end. So you can have 250 characters. So what you're going to do is you're going to have to count those characters and you're going to have to make sure they count. There's a cool technique that I personally use it sometimes, and it is because of the size of the Hispanic market in the States. Sometimes I use the back end to put Spanish keywords. So you find the best, the juiciest keywords that you have, you translate them to Spanish, try to use a good translation. And if you're Portuguese, you probably know more Spanish than anybody else. But use that. Use your back end wisely. So you can use Spanish keywords. And even if you don't want to use all of them in Spanish, that's fine. Use the main ones in Spanish so you can get both audiences. And then some others that you have not put anywhere in the front, or something that you feel is important but is only on the description, not in the bullet points, you can use them in there as well. There's also a Google Chrome extension, and that's something that I personally use. It's absolutely free and it is amazing tool. What it does is it counts the words that you have repeated. If you have repeated something, and it happens often, repeated them in your back end, or if you have it on the title, the bullet points, and the back end, it will tell you, you don't need this in the back end. Always leave it in the front, but you don't need it in the back end. And that's called AMZ Fire. It's all together, all one word, AMZ Fire. Search terms on steroids. And that is absolutely free. And if you have, if you use Google Chrome, you can use it as an extension. And every time you open your listing, this thing will pop up on your computer and tell you what keywords you're repeating, what you need, what you don't need, and get it out, and how many characters you've used already. I think this is pretty much it. Of course, there's so much I can tell about this, but you have my contact. Keep in touch. Any questions that you have, contact me at any time. I'm always here, buddy. Okay, everybody. Thank you so much. I hope this helped you. I hope it helped you too, Mars Bars. I hope to hear from everybody soon. Thank you.